Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday afternoon, and we're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today are Robert Brining and Joshua. We'll be taking your calls and speaking out on the topic of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to call in and share some of your life experiences with us. The number to call is 347-215-9442. 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause I Am Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Pause I Am Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining. Today, I may be flying solo. It seems like every time I get an interview, my co-host has something come up. So today, we will be interviewing Darren Main, who is an author and yoga and meditation instructor. And the purpose of me wanting to bring him in and share his story is that he writes books that are really inspirational. And I'm not going to tell you that I've read it because I haven't read it yet. I haven't been able to get his book in the bookstore, so I have to order it online. But the topics that he touched on are very close and dear to me, Christianity and homosexuality, a lot of different spiritual awakening books on yoga and meditation. And I believe that, you know, as an HIV positive person, that we have to grow in all different aspects of our life. And spirituality is a very important thing that we need in our life too, because we're all here for a reason. We're all on this earth for a reason, and we're all looking for our purpose and our, you know, the reason we're here and what our mission is. And a lot of his books kind of helps people connect to that, and I think it's really important. A lot of people know that my partner is very spiritual. He is a medium, and he communicates with people that have crossed over, and he does a lot of meditation and stuff like that, and I can't seem to get it. So that's one of the questions I'm going to see if I can see if Darren can answer. I can't seem to sit still enough to learn how to meditate. Again, it's just a little difficult for me. So he'll be coming on a little bit later. I just want to tell you a little bit about him before he comes on. He is a well-known yoga and meditation instructor and author. His books include Yoga from the Path of the Urban Mystic, Spiritual Journeys Along the Yellow Brick Road, the Feinhorn Book of Meditation, and his recently new book is called The Heart and Mind, Talking to Christians About Homosexuality. So we'll definitely touch on all of those. I'm really interested in the Yellow Brick Road one. That seems like something that I would be able to understand. It seems a lot of books that I try to find on spirituality or, you know, awakening to my purpose, I can't seem to grasp an interest and really understand what's going on. One of the books, like The New Earth, I purchased that book and I cannot sit through. I purchased it actually on DVD, on CD, and I purchased the book and I can't read it because it doesn't keep me in tune, and the CD, I can't take it because I don't like the guy's voice. It gets on my nerves. So one of the things here is I like to bring important, what I think are empowering and inspiring people to the table so you all can meet them. The show itself is a part of the Pause I Am community, which is a social networking site for people affected and infected with HIV and AIDS, and you can find that at www.pauseiam.com. And it's similar to a Facebook or a MySpace, and it just connects everybody. In this radio show allows me to be able to have a voice out there to everybody, because not everybody will read an email, and allows people to come and share their stories of hope and inspiration, and after a diagnosis, their life doesn't end. So it's really important that we know that our dreams aren't infected and we're able to still go on living our life and being productive individuals and loving ourselves, because that's the whole thing is once you're diagnosed, you have to search that self to find your love. And it took me a long time to find the love for myself. And now, you know, I'm at a better place. I'm in a more stable relationship. And I have my life together somewhat to where I'm giving back and helping others who may need it. I created the website because I didn't have any friends that were HIV positive that could talk to me. I didn't have, you know, a support system. I didn't go to support groups because I didn't find a connect there. I wasn't really religious because I was raised Catholic. So I had a lot of disturbing issues with religion, so I didn't go to church. I didn't have a church group to go to. And I actually found support in my teammates because I play soccer, so I thought that was kind of something very, very interesting. So, again, you can learn more about Darren at his website at www.darrenmain.com. That's D-A-R-R-E-N-M-A-I-N.com. some things I wanted to mention before he comes on about the Positive community, just so you guys can get a little gist of it. We do have a group chat that is every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it just allows people to come in and ask questions in a safe environment, and I think that's really, really important. We are also Wednesdays at 2 p.m. and Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Sundays I host with Jeremy from Positively Speaking, and you can learn more about Jeremy at www.positivelyspeaking.com. He has his own website, and he co-hosts with me on Sunday, and he's a very, very cool guy, and a lot about him. He actually just had an interview with Jack McEnroth from Project Runway, and if you are a fan of the show and you listen a lot, you know that two Wednesdays ago I interviewed Jack, and it was phenomenal, and like I said earlier, it always seems like when I have an interview, my co-host has something that comes up that he needs to take care of. So today, again, I'm flying solo just like I did with Jack, but you can listen to any of the archives, you know, right on the radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/PosIAM. But he ended up getting through the radio show interview and me mentioning his website, Jack McEnroth's people contacted him, and he now has, you know, interviewed him on Monday and is going to post a blog. So if you want to go to positivelyspeaking.com, he does have a blog there that will have this really cool interview. I know Jeremy can write, and I actually look really, really forward to it. Let's see. What else can I tell you about? This next radio show that we have coming up on Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is actually going to be somewhat of an open forum night, and it'll allow you to call in and share a little bit about the topic. And the topic of the night is going to be about books, or maybe there's a good book that you read that helped you cope with something during your status, or during, you know, you going through your period of just being diagnosed, or a movie that touched you. I know last week I touched on Rock the Boat. I know there's plenty of movies like Philadelphia and all different things like that, and certain ones. And I just like to bring some to people's attention so they're able to go and look for these things in the library, or go rent these movies, you know, at Blockbuster or Netflix and things like that, because a lot of people don't know about the great, you know, smaller films that are made that aren't on the big screen that people don't go and see all the time, like the one that Bob Bowers was in, The Fire Within. If you don't know Bob or know of Bob, you really don't know about that DVD that was made, the documentary on him and his ex-wife going on that mission for the bike ride in California for, I think it was like 4 days or something like that. And that was such a touching, real documentary because it was about somebody who was showing you everything. It wasn't just showing you the good times of when he was, you know, doing this and doing that. He's showing you the bad times when he's puking and when he's getting sick and when he's not feeling well. So without that, I'm going to bring Darren on. I believe I have Darren here. Let me just see. Darren, are you there? Hello. Oh, I think he may have hung up, so we'll see if he can call back. So, again, that's what we're going to talk on Sunday at 9 p.m. We're going to talk about movies, films, and books that you may have been inspired by and would like to share with us. I'll have a list of them. And I just like to put good stuff out there. I like for you to read good books that mean something and not, you know what I mean? I'd rather give good information, so that's what I'm hoping for. I'm waiting for Darren to call in. So the purpose here... Here he is. Let's see. Darren, are you there?
Good. Is this Robert?
Yes, it is. How are you, man? Welcome to PosIAM Radio.
Hey, so good to talk to you.
That's good. We have a small group in the chat room, but that's okay because this is really more of an archive show where a lot more people listen to it on the site when they log on.
Perfect.
So it'll grow throughout the hour, but that's fine. But welcome. How are you?
I'm doing really good. It's a sunny day here in California.
Yeah, it's a sunny day here, too, in Philadelphia. I'm sure it's not as sunny as there, but I got the sun coming in the window. So I'm glad I was able to get you on. I came across a video that you were in, and I just remember it just said your name, and I don't know how long ago it was. I don't remember what the video was, to be honest with you, Darren. And I was just like, I have to connect with him for some reason. I just felt like this need that I had to, like, reach out to you. And I don't know why, and, you know, I had no idea of doing this radio show at all, but I didn't realize how spiritual you were. You know what I mean? And how, like, until I go to your website, and I saw everything about it, but, like, I'm on this mission, and I've just begun becoming more spiritual over the last couple of years, and I just think that there is a purpose, and it's, I swear it's that book, the Yellow Brick Road book I have to get.
Oh, good.
Keep telling me about it. So.
Well, that one's coming out in the second edition pretty soon, so.
Good. That one, I went to actually the bookstore a couple times to look for it, and I was not able to find. So I didn't want to order it on Amazon because I don't like buying used books, really.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I can order. Can people order books through your website?
I usually just send them to Amazon because I'm too lazy to ship stuff. But that book is, the first run is almost done, so it might be out of stock in a lot of places.
Yeah.
When the second edition comes out, it'll be much more available. Yeah, toward the end of a book's, you know, printing, they, you know, all the different warehouses start to run out of them and stuff.
Yeah, my partner, he self-published his own book, so I know how. I don't know. Yours are not self-published, right?
No. No, I have a publisher.
Right. So he self-published it, so I know how it is to have your book, send it here, send it there when it comes in, and everybody, yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. That's why I have a publisher. You make more money self-publishing sometimes,
right,
if you do well, but
getting
it's
the book
just a big
there.
Headache.
Yeah. So real quick, I just want to let people know the one thing about you that I find fascinating is that you're a yoga and meditation instructor, as long as being, you know, an author of four books, and you have a fifth one coming out?
Five and six are coming out, hopefully, if I keep up my ambitious streak later this year. We'll see what happens, you know. It'll either be later this year or early next year. I'll have two more out.
That's so cool. I want to write a book so bad, but I can't write.
I don't believe that.
I can't write to save my life. Like, I'm very short and sweet and to the point. You know, I can't drag it out to be 300 pages or something.
Oh, you just got to fill it with a lot of... I find people really like personal examples and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, that if you, whatever point you're making, if you can make it real for them, either by sharing something from your own life or from somebody you know that they
right.
can identify with, then... people get it more, as opposed to a book, you know, like about HIV. HIV could be like this dry, boring, scientific type of topic.
Right.
Or it can be very real. You know, if you're talking about CD4 counts, what does that mean? Both on a scientific level, but also on a very personal level. What's it like to go get a CD4 test or whatever? And what does it mean if the numbers come back low or high, and how do you react to that? So,
yeah, I think that's important, and that's basically why one reason I did the show and even created the site is just so people would share more, because I feel like a lot of people don't share enough about it, and people get lost.
One thing I love about your website is that, well, I live in San Francisco, and, of course, there's a support group on every corner, and people share pretty freely, but when I travel and teach, people will come up to me after a workshop or something and say, hey, I read your website, and I'm HIV positive, and I'm scared to death, and I don't know who to talk to. And that's got to be really hard when you live in an area where there aren't a lot of HIV positive people, or you're afraid to disclose your status because you're going to be judged or whatever. So your website really provides a vehicle for people to connect who might not otherwise be able to do that.
Yeah, that's one thing that the purpose of like the radio show, I just wanted another outlet for people to share a little bit more. And I like bringing people on like you, and I had Jack McEnroth on 2 weeks ago. And I like bringing people who are doing positive things and living their life and not dwelling in their status. Because I think too many people dwell in it and miss out on living life.
Yeah, well, I suspect the movie that you saw me in, the documentary, was probably The Other Side of AIDS.
Okay,
which,
I think it might.
Yeah, it's sort of a collection of people who take alternative approaches to HIV.
Right.
And I don't agree with everybody in the movie, you
right.
know, but the one thing I think we all have in common is that we don't live in fear. And I think that's key. I know people who... if they drop 5 T cells, which means absolutely nothing on paper, you know, your doctor's
right.
like, yeah, whatever. That could be because you didn't sleep well last night.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're stressed out or you have a cold or God only knows what. But if you get in your head about that, you know, that causes more stress, more worry, which is terrible for the immune system, which makes your CD4 count drop more. And it's sort of like this downward spiral. So having that positive attitude of, you know, this is just one little facet of my life. Approach it in the most conscious way possible, making the most informed choices possible. Then all of a sudden you're free. And it can actually be a catalyst for growth as opposed to a millstone around your neck.
Right. Yeah, I think that was the video now that you say, because I knew it had to do something with AIDS, and it was one of those, you know, movie, one of those things that people are controversial about and aren't open-minded. So, and I know since my partner is a medium and he deals with a lot of different kind of healing, like we go to a healer who does, it's not Reiki. I don't want to say it's Reiki because he's certified in Reiki, but he does this, she does this healing with her hands over her body and she does like belching. Does this make any sense to you?
Belching, like burping?
Yeah, like she, it's almost like burping. She drinks something and it supposedly relieves all like energy points in your body. Like when I'm done there, I feel like I'm on cloud nine when I'm walking out. Like I feel like so much energy has been lifted. Like she removes all that negative pockets and stuff like that.
You know, this isn't so much true now, but years ago when I first started doing yoga, I would hear from doctors or whoever that yoga stuff, it's all in your mind. It's all placebo. You believe it works, and so it works. And my answer was always, so what? I mean, either it's working on a physiological level, which I think they've proven now for many issues, or it's all in your head, but the bottom line is you feel better, so who cares, you know?
Yeah, it's working.
the point is you feel better, and that should be the point of whether it's doing yoga or taking the pills a doctor gives you or having somebody put their hands on you and burp, you know? If you feel good, do it. If you don't, do something different.
Right. That's funny. I noticed I went on and I, you know, over a few times that I've gone on your website, I always, you know, go and read the About You section because I like to find out more about, you know, everybody. And what I love about yours is that it gives you a lot of details and it tells you a lot of things. And I found so many things in you that I found in myself. You know what I mean? When I was reading things, you were raised Catholic, as I was.
Yes.
You know, you speak that your mother is like the backbone of your life, and that's what my mother is to me.
Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of gay boys.
Yeah, being a mama's boy.
Yeah.
But you had a lot of, I'm trying to think of where, I highlighted this one part, and I'm trying to see where it's at just so I can. And you shared deep bonds with your siblings, you say, and is that something that you have always had? Have you always had that like deep connection with your siblings when you were younger?
Yes. I mean when we were younger we used to fight like cats and dogs like all siblings do, but it wasn't you know, it was just normal childhood, you know, fighting. It wasn't anything really severe. But it's interesting. I always share this story because It just changed. It's just one lesson that I learned by becoming positive. Right after I tested positive, I called my brother up and I was really upset. And I was crying and he talked me down and, you know, I was just sort of flipping out. And my brother is probably the straightest guy you'd ever want to meet. He's very conservative, you know, politically speaking, I'm very liberal. You wouldn't think that we would be such close friends because we're just two very different people.
Right.
And yet we get along really, really, really well. And he called me the next day after I told him, and he said, okay, I got on the internet and here's what we need to pay attention to. And he had gone to all these HIV websites and he did all this research so he could understand, like, you know, he knew what HIV was. But
oh, I think somehow we disconnected and Darren got lost, so hopefully he'll call back in. And that was interesting, about how he was talking about how he, you know, told his brother about his status and how his brother went out and did things like that. And that just goes to show you, I know it's hard to tell people about your status, but you shouldn't be afraid to tell people, because you never know what their reaction may be. Hey, you back?
I think I lost you there for a minute.
Yeah, somehow you got disconnected.
Yeah, the wonderful world of technology. I forget, I don't know where I lost you, but basically my brother said, here's what we have to do. And I realized in that moment that in spite of everything, in spite of our differences, that he lives in Connecticut and he's straight and he's conservative and I'm liberal and live in San Francisco and stand on my head and chant Om, that he's my brother and he's got my back and I've got his back. And it was a really wonderful experience.
Now, is that something that you told your brother, you said right after you were diagnosed?
It was pretty close. It was within a day or two after.
Yeah.
My mother is sort of psychic, and she
cool.
She kept calling me and leaving messages saying, Darren, what's wrong? I know something's wrong. I'm like, how do you know that? Like, you know, she's just psychic. And so I knew I had to tell her, and I knew she was going to flip out when I did,
mm-hmm.
out of concern, not disown
right.
me or anything. And she did. So I wanted my brother to know first so he could be there to pick up the pieces when I dropped the bomb.
Right.
So.
That makes sense. Because I told my mother, I sat my mother down and told her my status like two, 3 days after I found out. Like, I just felt like it was something I couldn't hide. Like how you went to your brother and you confided in him. Like, I went to my mom. It was like, that was just who I go to for problems. Even when I was young and in high school and, you know, supposedly straight, when I had problems with girls and sexual problems with girls, I'd go to my mom. You know what I mean? Like, that my mom was just that type of person. But with your brother, it just shows that people, I know people are afraid to disclose their status to their family members, but you never know how they're going to react.
I mean, I think that you do need to be mindful. I mean, not everybody responds in a nice way.
Right.
But I think that frequently we don't give our family enough credit, that they're biologically predisposed to love us. And if we share with them, coming out to them, whether it's about our sexuality or our HIV status or whatever, and we give them the opportunity to have their process, you know, to freak out and to go through the same process that we had to go through as we were coming to terms with it, frequently most family members rise to the occasion. It's just it may be difficult for them, but in the long run, and again, this is a general rule. Not everybody would want to tell their family.
Right. When I told my mom, she didn't want me to tell anybody outside of my immediate family.
Yeah.
Like, not to tell aunts, not to tell uncles, not to tell cousins, just keep it all hush-hush. And then once I...
And here you are on the radio.
Right, well, I had a medical issue when I started taking Atripla, because I started meds. It was about a year ago, and I just started it, and I took them, and I had this big reaction to it. And I broke out in hives.
What was the reaction? The hives?
Yeah, I was allergic to the sativa in it, but the doctor thought I had this disease called Steven Johnson's disease, which is a very deadly, the last patient who had it with him passed away. So he, you know, I was at the hospital rushing and all this other stuff. And when I came out of the hospital, people were asking me questions. And I was like, well, I have to tell them. I can't lie. You know what I mean? I feel comfortable now. And I had this website up already, so I was kind of already putting myself out there. And now everybody knows, and you're right, we don't give our family enough credit. I think it's just because we're feared to be judged.
Yeah.
A lot of it. But I want to talk about how you do yoga and stuff like that, because it's something that I don't understand. I can't meditate, as I was saying earlier. I can't sit straight for longer than like maybe 5 minutes, and then I'm like, not even 5 minutes, like 3 minutes, and I'm like, I'm out. I have a very short attention span. How can I get more into meditating?
Well, that's a good question. The first thing that I always tell people is that you have to remember that meditation is a discipline. It's no different than saying, I want to lose weight, and that's going to require going to the gym. Or I'm going to lose weight, and it's going to require me giving up or not eating certain foods or eating less of other foods and eating more of the healthy foods. And when we have bad habits, that discipline is very, very difficult. It takes a real strong commitment. And most of us are we have untrained, undisciplined minds. We grew up watching TV and playing video games, and, you know, just we live in a culture of constant stimulation, and sitting still is something that we've never, ever done before, most of us. So you got to give yourself a little bit of permission to be uncomfortable and to know that it's not going to be easy. A lot of people, they take my meditation workshop and they think, oh, he's going to give me this magic technique and I'm going to sit there in bliss and peace, and and I have to burst their bubble. They usually want their money back. But go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I understand. My partner does intuitive workshops, and people think when they're done, they're going to be like magnificent, talking to the dead and everything. And it's like, no, it's just to teach you how to get in tune.
Yeah.
You know, it's then not giving you the power.
I also think, like in India, Hatha yoga, which is the physical practice of yoga, that was developed for people who had difficulty sitting. It was designed to prepare your body and mind to sit in meditation for longer periods of time. And so for someone like you who really struggles with seated meditation, I would encourage you to take on a yoga practice and maybe sit for 5 minutes at the end of your practice, and then maybe that 5 minutes will turn to 10 minutes. And eventually to 20 minutes, and then eventually to an hour. But for you to try and sit for an hour, you'd just go crazy, and it really wouldn't. You'd just get frustrated and stop doing it. And Hatha yoga, in addition to preparing you to meditate, is also incredibly good for your body, and especially if you're HIV positive and if you're on HIV meds. I mean, it really helps with both of those things. So it's sort of yoga, it really is powerful medicine regardless of who you are, but especially if you're HIV positive.
Now, how does it help, you say it helps certain, you know, with people with HIV? I don't know anything about it, so I'd like to know how does that work?
Well, your immune system there's actually a whole science that's developed over the past 20 or 30 years called psychoneuroimmunology, and it's looking at the connection between your psychological and emotional state as in conjunction with your immune system. And they know that people who have broken hearts, for instance, or who live with a lot of stress tend to have weaker immune systems. And so there's been a lot of study that's gone into that. And without getting too technical, I'll get as technical as you want, but basically our unconscious nervous system, our autonomic nervous system that tells your body how to function, like hopefully your heart is beating right now.
Right.
And if you decide to go for a run, it's going to beat faster. And if you take a nap, it's going to beat slower. But you don't have to consciously think about that. If you have your lunch, you know, you swallow your food and it goes into your stomach, and hopefully your body absorbs the nutrients and eliminates the waste, and you don't really have to think about it beyond what you're going to order off the menu. And so all of that is automatic. It's part of your autonomic nervous system. And your immune system is also part of that system. And what happens is when you live in stress, you shift from what's called your parasympathetic nervous system, which is the part of your nervous system that heals your body, digests your food. It's the resting state where your body repairs itself. If you cut your finger or whatever damage has been done to your body, that's when it's that part of your nervous system that deals with that. And then we have what's called the sympathetic nervous system, often called fight or flight. And this is where you're walking somewhere and I jump out and yell boo and scare you, your heart beats faster, your adrenaline pumps, you're ready to either kick my butt or run like a screaming schoolgirl. Right? And that's really important if there's like some knife wielding maniac coming after you, or a tiger is chasing you, or whatever.
Right.
But it's not good to live in that state long term, because what it does is it prohibits your body from digesting food. It weakens your immune system. It does all sorts of nasty things in the long term that prevent you from being a healthy person. And all of this is like the precursor to what I'm about to say. When we practice yoga, we come in, we step onto the yoga mat, and most of us live in fight or flight. We clutch the steering wheel when we're driving through traffic. We have those deadlines at work. We have to file our taxes. We have emotional, our partner, and we just had an argument with our partner, whatever it is. And we live in this constant state of fight or flight, even though it's just psycho-emotional. Filing your taxes is a psychological thing. There's there's no immediate physical danger. And yet our physical body responds as if it is. And so when we step onto the yoga mat, what we do is we're sitting in that crazy, adrenaline-filled, weakened immune state. And the yoga poses are designed to shift us from fight or flight back into rest and digest, where we can be more healthy. Our bodies will function more efficiently. We can absorb the nutrients from the food we eat, all of those good things that we really need to live healthy. Everybody needs that, but especially if you have something that's weakening your immune system above and beyond the regular things that everybody has to deal with. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, I like it because I'm learning. You know what I mean? And I like to learn about different things. For me, it's a learning experience. And I'm sure for people who are going to listen, it's the same thing. And I like that about having people on that are on, and different than what I am or what my co-host may be. So I like having, new thoughts put in my head and thinking on things. Is all the stuff that you just touched on and the way that you described the yoga and stuff, is that mentioned in your yoga book?
It is not specific to HIV, but I do talk about the parasympathetic versus the sympathetic nervous system in my Urban Mystic Yoga book, Yoga and the Path of the Urban Mystic, as well as in my meditation book. I talk about it too.
The Findhorn book of meditation?
The Findhorn book of meditation, yeah.
Yeah,
so the nice thing about yoga is it's very effective in doing that. And that was a very technical explanation for what's happening, but it happens to everyone. It happens, you show up, you do some weird poses and you breathe, and you go into that rest and digest mode where your immune system can really rebuild itself.
Yeah, I find it absolutely fascinating. And my partner's been begging me to start yoga classes with him. And I'm just like, oh, God, I don't want to do it. But now I feel like I have to do it. Like there's a reason that he's asking me to do it. You know what I mean?
Well, next time I talk to you, I'm going to check in, and that's your homework assignment. I know you were raised sure. Catholic now, so I know I can guilt you into anything.
Yeah, right. One of the other books that you have is, I wanted to actually learn how the concept of it came about, is The Spiritual Journeys Along the Yellow Brick Road. Because this is the book that I was first drawn to when I, you know, went across what books you had. And it was the one that I felt like I could relate more to because you related it to the characters. So
yeah.
How did you come up with that concept? And can you talk a little bit about what the book is about?
Sure. I it was actually many years ago now. It makes me feel old to even talk about it. But I was watching The Wizard of Oz with a little friend of mine. It was my ex-boyfriend's son. And he had never seen The Wizard of Oz. And I thought, my God, every kid needs to see The Wizard of Oz. So I went down to the video store and I rented it. And I made some popcorn and we sat down and we watched it. And as we were watching it, I was sort of just watching him because it's sort of like nostalgia from when I was a kid and watching it. And he was terrified when the Wicked Witch would come on and all excited when it turns from black and white to color and, you know, scared to death when Dorothy goes into the witch's castle and excited when she makes it to the Emerald City. And I thought, wow, he is going through in an hour and a half what I go through every day in my life. And then I got to thinking, wow, each of these characters is really like a part of me. You know, I'm really like Dorothy, thinking I'm lost, but really I'm just unconscious.
Right.
And trying to find my way home, and really all I need to do is wake up. And I have this immense power, but I need to sort of go through this journey and face my fears and do all these things to realize that I've had the power all along. And then each of the characters, I have fear, and it cripples me like the lion.
Right.
And I feel like my heart is breaking, or I can't love enough like the Tin Man, or I feel like I'll never be smart enough, you know, like intellectual stuff. So each of those characters represented parts of myself, which is pretty consistent with Jungian psychology, that when you look, interpret a dream or any kind of story, it's not about, if you have a dream about your mother, it's not really about your mother. It's a dream about the part of you that your mother represents.
Right.
So,
and that's something that everybody can actually relate to in a way. How you,
yeah.
You know, I think it's great. I think it's a great concept. I really
and
do.
I
think it's wonderful.
Like, I also feel like when you look at all the great teachers, spiritual teachers, from Jesus to many of the Eastern teachers, they all taught through stories and parables. And I think the reason for that is it sort of squeaks wisdom in under the radar.
Yeah.
It's such a profound way for people to identify with that wisdom without having to be geeky, nerdy PhD students. You know, they can sort of hear a cute story about the Wizard of Oz, or, you know, about the prodigal son, or about, you know, Ganesha, the elephant god in Hinduism, and they can, on some level, really identify with that story.
Right. Well, I was in the car yesterday picking up my father-in-law, and I heard the radio was on, and I heard Elton John's song, you know, The Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
Beyond the Yellow Brick Road, and it made me think of your book. And I was sitting there in the car, and I'm thinking of your book, and I'm like, I know that he does it, and he has, you know, into spirituality and looking for yourself in that way. I was like, but how can it be twisted into people with HIV? And I was just sitting there thinking, I was like, how could that be done? And then, like, all these, like, ideas came to my head. I was like, that's really cool, like, because you need, like, if, you know, if you're saying you're somebody who's HIV positive and you're Dorothy, you know, you need to fill yourself with education. You need to get yourself a brain. You know what I mean? And then, like, I was just thinking of things like that, and I was like, that's really cool that you can really use the Wizard of Oz for anything and kind of move it in.
And you need courage. I mean, it's not that we shouldn't be afraid, but
right.
that we have to face those fears. You know, if how many people find out they're positive and they just live their lives in fear of their next lab results, fear of when is the next other shoe going to drop, instead of living in the moment and enjoying life? How many, and same with the Tin Man, how many of us shut down and we feel like we can't be loved or we're not lovable or, you know, and that
ourselves.
Happens for good reasons. I mean, some people are afraid to touch you.
Yeah.
But there's many more people who are thrilled to touch you and to hold you and to, and so I think we really need to look at that. HIV is a perfect example of the path Dorothy has to walk.
Yeah, right. It just to me, it was just really cool. I was like, I was just brainstorming and, you know, thinking about how you did it with your book and just thinking how it could be done the other way. I just think it's a great idea and a great way, you know, a great way to put it in a book where it's relatable to everybody, because everybody knows the Wizard of Oz.
I also think, like, the wizard, in my book, he represents religion. And it's sort of important to believe in something, whether you're Catholic or Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or whatever. But ultimately, it's finding that power within yourself. And I think when we're HIV positive, we tend to make doctors our religion.
Yep.
We're waiting for them to find the cure. We're waiting for them to tell us we can be well or we're sick. If they say, I always tell this story. When I first tested positive, I've lived a pretty healthy life. I've taught yoga and meditation, and I'm a vegetarian, and I'm total health nut. I exercise all the time, and I thought, wow, I'll have no problem with HIV. And then I went to the doctor, and I got my first set of labs back, and my T cells were below 200, which, of course, is what the CDC defines as AIDS.
Right.
And a friend of mine picked me up at the doctor that day, and I got in the car and I started crying, and like he didn't know what to do. He doesn't know what I was crying about. And I told him, I said, I just found out I have full-blown AIDS. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, my CD4 count is below 200. And he said to me, well, how do you feel? And I said, I feel fine. and he said, well, then what's the problem? And it just hit me in that moment. This is a number. It has only the meaning I'm giving it. It doesn't mean
right.
I should ignore it and that I shouldn't use it to help me make wise and informed decisions. But to really give that doctor and that number that much power that it can ruin my day instead of helping me make informed choices is really insanity. So I think we really need to pull back the curtain on that and see that the doctor, it's not that the doctor is a bad person or that we shouldn't trust him or her and that we shouldn't go to that person for guidance. We should, but we need to recognize that the power lies within us. But it's our own ruby slippers that are going to make us, they're going to carry us home, not some magic pill that a pharmaceutical company creates or some lab test that a doctor runs.
Yeah, one of the other things I've read with you is that you had your spiritual path began in a 12-step meeting, and that's very similar to me, because I went through the motions of addiction before my diagnosis, and then started going to, you know, NA and going to different meetings and stuff, and I had an awakening going there.
I've always believed that the 12 steps are like the instruction manual that they don't give you when you're born. Yeah, it's like you get a new computer or something and it doesn't come with an instruction book and
right.
you just expect it to know how to use it. And I think that life is like that. The 12 steps are just, they're basic life skills and they're written so that even a complete idiot like me can understand it.
Yeah, I found a lot of hope in going to those 12-step meetings because I was able to share more than I usually would. Because if not, I think I would have just sat home. If I wasn't going to meetings before the diagnosis, I would have just sat home and probably took a downward spiral. And I think that actually the 12th step saved my life. Like going to the meetings helped me prepare myself for where I'm at today. Do you think that did the same for you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the whole concept of surrender is so key. It's when we think we're masters of the universe that we get into the most trouble. Like, there's nothing I can do about my HIV status. Even like dating, people say, oh, isn't it hard to date? And I'm like, not really. It sort of weeds out the ones I probably shouldn't be dating anyway.
Yeah, right. It's a little bit easier.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just have to have faith that things work out the way they're supposed to. And there's nothing I can do to change it. So I could sit here and whine and cry and complain. Poor me, I'm HIV positive. And, you know,
at the end of the day,
I actually have a friend, someone who really changed my life. She found out she was positive many years ago, about 18 years ago. And at the time, being a straight woman, it wasn't a good time to find out you were positive. And being heterosexual, there was no real support. I mean, in the gay community, there was a lot of support at that time. There was very little in the straight world because it hadn't really hit there.
Right.
And so she had just started this new relationship and was devastated because she was so in love with this guy, and she has to sit down and say, hey, I have this fatal disease and I may have given it to you. And, you know, he naturally flipped out, and they worked through this whole process of did he feel comfortable being with her, and then he decided yes. But then there was the whole thing of she was going to die soon, and he sort of freaked out over that. Do I want to get involved with somebody that's not going to be here in a few years? And he finally decided yes, that he had to live in the moment. And through this whole process that they went through in deciding to live in the moment, they decided to take up skydiving. And it's just like a symbol of just living in the moment and totally surrendering. And she was home one day not feeling very well with a cold. And he went skydiving, you know, with a few friends. And she got the knock on the door. His parachute didn't open. And
oh, my.
Yeah, it was devastating for her, but she told me once that the thing that it taught her was that they had been planning, living in the moment, planning for her funeral. Like, she's going to be gone soon, so we have to live in the moment.
Right.
And it turned out, you know, it was his time before it was hers. So, you know, to do anything other than surrender and live in the moment, and to think that you know when your time is up, or to deny the miracle before it happens, is to waste the life that you've been given.
Yeah. It's very important to live in the moment. I mean, you hear people talk about that more and more because, like you were saying, you don't know what tomorrow brings. No one's guaranteed tomorrow.
Yeah. I was recently in a motorcycle accident.
Yes, I read that on your blog.
Yeah, and I'm doing amazingly well right now, but you know, it really, in that instant, like, I remember going down, that's about the last thing I remember, and thinking, wow, this is it. It just, you know, and it so could so easily have been something else. And if I had wasted the past 10 years of my life, 9 years ago I found out I was positive, worrying about my CD4 count and everything, and then only to get killed on a motorcycle,
right.
What a waste that would have been. You know?
Well, I'm glad I saw the pictures that were on the blog, but did you break anything?
I broke my collarbone, and I had surgery, and they fixed that up. I can actually move my arm again, which is nice.
So are you teaching yoga now?
Yeah, I actually went back to teaching. It happened on a Friday, and I went back to teaching on Monday.
Wow.
I mean, I couldn't demo the poses, of course.
Right.
But it was important to me. I mean, I think HIV prepared me for that too. It's like I looked like hell. I mean, the left side of my face was all raw.
Right.
And I had a deep gouge in my forehead, and my lip was cut open, and
I
was sort of embarrassed to go out in public like that, and then I thought, God, that's crazy, you know? Stop being such a gay man.
Well, I have one of the things that I always like to ask people that I have on here is, how do you view your status? And some people get confused with that, and what I mean to say is I view mine as a gift, and for me, it totally changed my life and put me on the path that I should have been on. And that's why I consider it a gift, and with sharing it with people and my story and stuff like that, to me, you know what I mean? It's like re-giving the gift over and over, and that's how I view it. How do you view it?
I'm very much the same way. My opinion about HIV changes over time. Like, to be honest, I don't really even think about it that much anymore. It's part of me. It's sort of like my eye color. I know my eyes are blue, but I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about it. But it definitely, that experience of getting that news from the doctor, going through that process, and learning to think for myself, not just, you know, I've taught yoga for years, and I've seen people deal with HIV in all sorts of different ways. Some people take meds, some people don't, some people believe there's cofactors that are involved, and other people believe just the virus itself is enough to make you sick. Other people don't believe the virus has been properly isolated, and therefore it shouldn't be called the cause of AIDS until it is properly isolated. To me, I've come to the point where it doesn't really matter. All I can do is live in the moment, and, you know, if I'm sick, I'll take whatever medicine's appropriate. If I'm healthy, I'm going to enjoy that health. And I feel like HIV really, really gave me the ability to do that. It's something I always believed in doing. But you don't really know what you're made of until life pressures you.
Very true.
In India, they talk about life is that each individual is like a piece of fruit. And it's not until you squeeze the fruit that you know what it's made of. If you squeeze a lemon, lemon juice comes out, and it's bitter and tart. And if you squeeze an orange, sweetness comes out. And when life squeezes you, whether it's HIV or a motorcycle accident or the death of a loved one or the loss of your job or whatever, if you respond to that squeezing with bitterness, then you have a pretty good indication of what's inside of you. But if you can respond to those difficulties with sweetness and compassion, and then you have a pretty good indication of what's in your heart. So when you say you view HIV as a gift, I think that's a pretty good indication of what's in your heart.
Thank you. I love metaphors. It makes everything so much easier.
I know you thought you were like the Grinch with that tiny little shriveled heart, but I'm not buying it.
Let's see. Another thing that I found, the thing that stuck out the most in your whole entire About Me section on your website was that you say that you've been on a journey that has led you to self-loathing, self-acceptance, and ultimately self-celebration. And I think that is phenomenal. That's like a great statement that you're celebrating yourself, and that's something that we – you know, people with HIV and lower self-esteem, we don't really do that. And I think that's important that you mention that and say that you're celebrating yourself. That's a great step forward, I think.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of the hardest things in the world. There's that quote from Marianne Williamson that it's our darkness, that it's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like it's such a process to... You're considered arrogant to say I love myself, but to say I love myself and I celebrate myself doesn't mean that you don't love and celebrate other people. It just means you know, you were created beautiful, wonderful, with a gift to give to the world, each person a different gift. You know, mine might be teaching yoga, yours might be facilitating a web-based community, you know, to support people who are HIV positive. Somebody else, it might be doing my accounting because I'm so bad with numbers. But whatever it is, if you're not really, truly working to love yourself and celebrate yourself, then the world suffers.
I
agree. And that's far different than saying I'm better than someone else, that I'm better than you. I'm a yoga teacher, and therefore I'm better than you. You do a website, and that's nice, but my role is so much more important. That's arrogance.
Yeah.
But to say, hey, I've got a role in this, and, you know, every minute is an opportunity to love, to reach out to people, to taste the food you're eating, to whatever it is you're doing, if you're in the moment.
Definitely live in the moment. Real quick before we go, because we've got about 3 minutes, I just wanted to know, did you have any workshops or any events that are coming up that maybe people may be able to attend?
I have many things coming up. It really depends on where people are located. The big things I have coming up, I have a retreat to Joshua Tree, which is in Southern California. It's amazing. It's camping and hiking and climbing on big rocks and soaking in natural hot springs and eating healthy and doing yoga. And that's May 6th through the 10th. And then I have another retreat to India this summer,
which is
in May, or not this summer, it's this fall. I moved it to November. Going to India is the most healing thing I think I've ever done. It really puts everything in perspective.
And they can find all that on your website, right? You have a schedule list there, right?
Yeah, and then I travel and teach workshops all over the country as well.
Will you be coming to Philadelphia anytime soon?
I don't have any plans to be in Philadelphia, but I would love to come out. If you know of a place that would host me, I would love to come to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I have to check out into it because I would love to, you know, come out and check you out and see what's going on with you. And you do book signings and stuff like that too, right?
Absolutely. Right now I'm doing mostly book signings around my new book, which is about homosexuality in the Bible, which is a departure for me. It's weird to have controversy.
Yeah,
usually my books are pretty benign, but this one's sort of controversial, so that's why I get ahead there.
If people are talking, it's a good thing.
Yeah. And, hey, anytime you want to come out to San Francisco, you have a place to stay.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. My soccer team's been out there. I love it. I stayed right at the Castro. We had a big international game lesbian football tournament out there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
as in European
football. It was the most fun. But I want to thank you for coming on today, and I appreciate it, man. It means a lot to me. I'm glad we could connect.
Anytime. I'd love to be on again, and one of these days I'm going to have to interview you for my podcast.
Yeah, whenever you have anything coming up new or something that you want to promote, just let me know. I'll be more than happy to have you on.
Great.
All right, well, you enjoy and have the rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you too.
Thanks, Darren. Folks, remember, you can learn more about Darren Main at www.darrenmain.com. That's DarrenMain. And please go out and check out his books. They're really, really interesting. He has Yoga and the Path on the Urban Mystic. He also has The Hearts and Minds, Talking to Christians about Homosexuality. That's the controversial one. That's the one you're going to want to pick up. Also, The Spiritual Journeys Along the Yellow Brick Road and the Finhorn Book of Meditation. Go check him out, DarrenMain.com. And remember, we'll be back here on Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time talking about your favorite books, movies, or films that revolve around HIV and AIDS that have inspired you. I hope you have a great day, and I'm signing off.